This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Retailers are charging more. Consumers are buying more. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. The U.S. Census Bureau says June retail sales were up 0.5% and revised May figures up to 1.3%. These are strong numbers. We are joined by Julia Coronado to talk about them. She's founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
Retail sales out this morning, very strong numbers. What do you make of that?
Well, I think there are two things going on in these numbers. One is that consumers are in a good place. The labor market's very strong. Consumers are out there spending. And the other thing is that we're seeing in the inflation data that retailers themselves have a bit more pricing power than they've had in recent years. They are actually able to raise prices for the first time in several years.
Why is it that retailers can suddenly demand higher prices?
We've been through what a lot of retailers called the retail apocalypse in recent years. It's a transformation of the retail business model. A lot of weak retailers have gone out of business in recent years. And the ones that are left standing are now able to pass prices along to consumers.
So presumably, if prices are rising, people are spending more, inflation is growing as well, and the Fed will continue to raise rates as planned.
I think that's what we're going to hear from Fed Chairman Powell when he testifies before Congress this week. We have seen consumer inflation move up closer to their inflation target, and that confirms, combined with the strong consumer and the good labor market, that they will continue raising interest rates as planned this year.
Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Deutsche Bank shares are up 7.6% after the bank reported second quarter earnings far higher than analysts had expected. Up till now, it had been one of Europe's worst performing bank stocks. Bank of America also reported earnings. Its profits surged 33%. Stock is up 1.7%. Foreclosures on homes in Puerto Rico paused after Hurricane Maria. Several federal agencies had imposed moratoriums on new foreclosures. The New York Times is reporting they have resumed. 300 new foreclosure actions were filed across the island in the past 4 months. There's about to be more news available on Facebook, and it's real news. News shows, in fact, on its video on demand service called Facebook Watch. Facebook is paying Fox News, CNN, and ABC to make programs exclusively for Facebook Watch. Marketplace's Aaron Schrank has more.
Facebook wants users to spend more time staring at Facebook, and it wants that TV-level ad revenue, says analyst Brian Weezer at Pivotal Research.
The goal is to legitimately capture TV budgets, which they've been talking about for a long time but have been unable to accomplish because, shocker, they don't have any TV-like content.
Facebook Watch was added late last year and hasn't really caught on. Analyst Mark Mahaney at RBC Capital Markets says 75% of users his firm surveyed rarely or never look at it.
The big challenge for Facebook is that there already is a watch tab on the internet. It's called YouTube.
Facebook's been heavily criticized for allowing misinformation to spread on its platform. Mahaney says that's part of the reason it's shelling out for these programs.
The inclusion of large-scale national media within the watch tab is Facebook's attempt to offer an olive branch.
The social network's news experiment kicks off tonight with the premiere of Fox News Update, followed by CNN's Anderson Cooper. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
The
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
People have reared chickens in cities for fun for a while now, but every hobby has its high end. And yes, there is a super luxury version of urban chicken farming. It is to be found, unshockingly, in the Bay Area. Reporter Laura Newberry has more.
Laura Menard is with her chickens in her backyard in Monte Sereno, a suburb of San Jose.
I have my giant blue Cochins. They're purebred birds. I've got my rare giant blue frizzle rooster. That's Chewy.
She doesn't want to say how much she spent on the coop, but it looks like a guest house and has electricity and plumbing. Leslie Citron sells fancy flocks and coops like this. She says some of her customers have spent as much as $20,000 on their coops, decking them out with solar panels and security systems. And rare chicken breeds can cost as much as $350 a piece.
Probably the top seller is the Easter Egger that gives you the blue or the green egg. And then the other one we have is the black copper maran, and that lays those copper eggs, and that's extremely popular too.
Citron says her business has grown steadily since she started Mill Valley Chickens in 2009. She says the trend began with do-it-yourself types in Oakland who wanted to know exactly where their eggs came from. Most families drop around $1,000 or less on their coops.
But I like to point out that if you're living in a $15 million house, you're not going to buy a chicken coop off of Amazon that comes from China, you know, for $200.
So why all this fuss over chickens? Lisa Jean Moore is a sociologist at SUNY Purchase who studies urban homesteading.
A lot of people are returning to practices that they feel connect them with a greater sense of what it is to be in nature or maybe more enchanted places of wonder or magic and connecting with something that isn't just technologically mediated all the time.
It's hard to quantify how big the luxury chicken market is nationwide. But the U.S. Department of Agriculture found that one in every 100 households in the metro areas of Denver, L.A., Miami, and New York City keeps poultry. In Monte Sereno, California, I'm Laura Newberry for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.